You don't need me to tell you that journalism is necessary in a free society. We have to know what's going on and what people in power are up to. It gets harder over time as the sheer numbers of journalists working in the United States, or getting paid for the work anyway, drops. For that and other reasons, some stories that have big impacts on significant portions of society go underreported. They are collected by Project Censored in a top 25 format, the top 25 stories bypassed in the last year. And those are compiled in the project's book, The State of the Free Press 2022. Andy Lee Roth is co-editor of this with Mickey Hoff and the associate director of Project Censored and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Andy, welcome.
Hi, Jeffrey. It's a pleasure to join you on the show.
It is good to have you. Give us an overview of what Project Censored is about.
Well, Project Censored is about celebrating the importance of truly independent investigative journalism as one of the pillars of democracy. And that is, in some sense, the positive wing of the project. The critical wing is we try to hold corporate news media accountable when they fail to provide us the kind of news and information and perspective that we need to be informed and engaged community members and citizens. So it's really both a positive, celebratory aspect. There's more high-quality, independent reporting out there than perhaps at any time in American history. Combined with this critical dimension, unfortunately, you know, the majority of news that we see fits that term only loosely and in many cases problematically.
And I think your use of the term corporate probably gives an indication of where we're heading in the next question is your use of the word censored. Censored by whom?
Well, you know, we argue at Project Censored that in the 21st century we need a broad definition of censorship, that looking simply at things like top-down government censorship, it provides us only a limited understanding of how news and information flows in the United States in a digital era. Yes, indeed, there are, you know, there is old-fashioned gatekeeping censorship of the sort that we know as quote, prior restraint. But the factors that shape the flow of news and information now are so much more complex. And so the First Amendment, of course, only covers government censorship of the press, and a lot of what the project tracks and a lot of what listeners to the Jefferson Exchange are probably aware of is the incredible role that corporations play in shaping the flow of information, what and who we're aware of as newsworthy.
Does this come as a top-down thing, you're saying, from corporations to newsrooms, to editors, to say, hey, don't cover these stories or cover these instead?
It's a lot easier to talk about what is and isn't covered than to assess and evaluate why. But I think one of the complexities of that question you asked, Jeffrey, is in many cases now, when we're talking about online and we're talking about the big tech corporations and their role in the flow of information, a lot of this is done in a way that is literally inhuman, or at least only very indirectly the result of human decision-making. When we're talking about Google and Facebook and YouTube, the flow of information on these massive international platforms is largely driven by algorithms. These proprietary algorithms to which we have no access to how they work, and yet they're every day, every moment, whenever you make an online search for a news story, when you turn to Google News to see what's happening in the world, behind the scenes, algorithms are running using information that the platforms can glean about us from our online behaviors to determine what news to feed us. And the result is, you know, we've had a lot of discussion over the last election cycle about filter bubbles and silos and things, and how those are self-imposed by people based on their own political interests and beliefs. But I think when you dig behind the scenes, get into what we at Project Censored call critical media literacy, and we get into the area of critical media literacy that we might call algorithmic literacy, awareness of how these systems are channeling some information to high-profile positions and allocating invisible or marginal positions for other kinds of information and perspectives. We're deep into the kind of work that the project does.
Andy Lee Roth is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Associate Director of Project Censored. We're talking about the recent publication of State of the Free Press 2022, which shows the top 25 stories generally bypassed by the corporate media in recent years. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. A couple of different challenges to journalism, obviously, and you point out some of the AI challenges, too, with the way algorithms direct us toward stuff that is out there. But the term critical media literacy is a really interesting one because I know trust in journalism is very low right now. Where do you find critical media literacy to be?
So critical media literacy, I think, is kind of having its moment now. We've been waiting a long time. This is stuff that the project has been championing since 1976 when Carl Jensen founded the project, before we even had the terms media literacy or critical media literacy. But in terms of what we at the project do, the way we walk the walk with our critical media literacy education is that we have a campus affiliates program that I help to coordinate that links several hundred college and university students across the country in a kind of decentralized but nonetheless organized effort to track important but underreported news stories. These are news stories that are covered in the independent press and are either ignored altogether by the corporate news media or are treated in a partial way by the corporate news media, where partial could mean either incomplete, important components of the story are left out of the corporate coverage, or partial in the sense of a biased, slanted treatment of that story. And so college and university students across the country and indeed North America and some years around the world are identifying these important but underreported stories, vetting them for the quality of the reporting, and ultimately constructing a list of several hundred stories every year from which the project's panel of 28 international expert judges select our top 25 lists. So the students are crucial to this process, as they have been since the project's founding in 1976 at Sonoma State University in North Central California. And we're very proud of that. There, since the project was founded, at the time the project was founded, I should say, there were not many Newswatch organizations like Project Censored. It was fairly unusual. Now, of course, there are many Newswatch organizations, but we're very proud of the fact that Project Censored is distinctive for its kind of hands-on training in critical media literacy that we provide college and students, but also through our website, through our annual book, through our weekly radio show, which is syndicated on a number of stations across the country. We're also attempting to do that kind of critical media literacy engagement with the general public.
All right, so the list you've compiled, and it's interesting, too, because it goes from 1 through 25 in the book, but it's done as a countdown on the web, I noticed, from 25 to 1. So let's go straight to number 1, prescription drug costs set to become a leading cause of death for elderly Americans. It seems like, particularly given that the news-consuming audience tends to skew a little older, that this would have been splashed all over the place.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. And every year at Project Censored, when we're putting together these story lists, we have some head scratchers like this one. And I think this is how this story rose to the most prominent position in the list based on our judges' voting. The details behind this story, originally reported by Kenny Stansel for Common Dreams, based on a study by the West Health Policy Center, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan policy research group, that found that what's known as cost-related non-adherence, people not taking the drugs they've been prescribed by their medical caregivers for their conditions, is poised to become a leading cause of death in the United States, ahead of diseases like diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, and kidney disease, a leading cause of death in the U.S. by the year 2030. Cost-related non-adherence means people aren't taking the drugs they need to be taking for their health and well-being because they can't afford them. And the West Health study found that approximately 112,000 people a year would die prematurely. These are elderly Americans who are typically paying for their medical expenses through the federal government's Medicare program. An estimated 112,000 premature deaths a year that are preventable. They're imminently preventable. One of the things that Kenny Stancil's Common Dreams report on this story highlighted was that policy changes could not only lower the cost of prescription drugs and curb the power of Big Pharma, but that this would not only save some 93,000 lives a year, but it would ultimately reduce Medicare spending projected out to 2030 by some $475 billion. So there are solutions to this problem, but neither the problem nor the solutions are getting kind of establishment news coverage. There's a ton of coverage in the papers about rising drug costs, right? That was a major kind of campaign issue in the last presidential election. But what we at Project Censored found when we researched this story was we could not find any kind of major corporate establishment news coverage that mentioned this West Health Policy Center study, the problems it highlights, and the solutions it provides.
So pieces of the story were out there, but not the whole picture, as you're saying, together this way. Mm-hmm.
So this is a story, I tend to think of the top 25 list in terms of categories of kind of news stories. And this is one that achieved partial coverage in that sense of some aspects of the story are out there. Every American knows that drug costs are rising exorbitantly and that there are people who can't afford to take the medications they need to take to be well. The missing component in terms of the corporate news coverage was the extent to which that could lead to unnecessary deaths, as documented by this West Health Policy Center study, but also the solutions to this problem are ones that I think are omitted many times from corporate news coverage because they aren't deemed either politically realistic or politically palatable.
Interesting. So you're saying that the non-independent media, the corporate media, by your terminology, choose stories based on whether or not they think people are going to want to hear them.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the reason we talk about the corporate media as the corporate media, and not, for example, as many people do, as the mainstream media, is because several years ago, my former Sonoma State University colleague, Peter Phillips, a sociologist who was the director of the project for some time, Peter made the argument that we shouldn't talk about the mainstream media as the mainstream media. That really, when you examine them, as Peter spent a career doing, what you see is that the corporate media, by and large, are not just owned by corporate entities, but they reflect corporate interests. And the argument would be that the corporate interests lead to narrow, exclusive definitions of who and what count as newsworthy.
Let's pick up another one off the list here. By the way, we're talking to Andy Lee Roth, the co-editor with Mickey Huff, the associate director of Project Censored, the co-editor of State of the Free Press 2022. You can join the conversation as we talk about big news stories that got missed in the last year. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Number five on the list of censored stories is microplastics and toxic chemicals increasingly prevalent in the world's oceans. This is a story we, again, seem to at least know pieces of. What has been missing from the mainstream or corporate media approach to this?
Well, there are two studies that are quite startling in their findings that as we document, as we vet these stories, not only for their quality, their trustworthiness, their transparently sourced facts, we're also looking at how the story has been covered in the corporate news media. In this case, both of the reports that I'm about to give a capsule description of are completely absent from any of the corporate news coverage that we could track based on a year of thorough review. The first study is one about so-called PFAS, polyfluoral alkali substances. These are a member of a family of potentially harmful chemicals that are in all kinds of household products, everything from carpets and furniture and clothing to food packaging and the nonstick coatings on our pots and pans. And these have now been found, according to a July 2020 study from the journal Environmental Science and Technology, these PFAS have now been found in the Arctic Ocean. And that is startling because of the remoteness of the Arctic Ocean from what we would normally think of as the kind of flow of these human created chemicals. This is also startling because we know from research that exposure to these chemicals has serious impacts on human health, including, you know, they're potentially carcinogens, they're liver damage, thyroid problems, et cetera. So that's one. We've got this class of toxic chemicals that we've known about in our waterways for some time are now being discovered in some of the most remote oceanic areas of the globe. The other study is from a joint study by researchers at the University of Exeter in the UK and the University of Queensland in Australia, where they found microplastics in commonly consumed seafood sold in Australian markets. So these microplastics are about the size of, you know, they may be smaller than the size of a sesame seed, but they're being found in things like crab and oysters and squid and sardines. And again, the suggestion is that we know about these plastics and chemicals, but this is new evidence about the extent to which these have, in effect, in this case for this study, invaded the food chain. And when we looked for coverage of either of these two reports, we found that other than The Guardian, based in the UK, there was no major U.S. news coverage of either of these studies.
Let's take a call here. Derek in Talent is on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Andy Lee Roth, the Associate Director of Project Censored. Hi, Derek.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Two quick points before a quick question. One is that Project Censored has a great podcast as well that Mickey's on. Maybe Andy's on there too, but I think it's primarily Mickey. And then I wanted to say, too, the point you were making about the corporate approval was made no better than Noam Chomsky in a BBC interview where he was, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, where he was asked by the interviewer, the reporter, certainly these people can't be, you know, knowingly censoring you. And Chomsky makes the point that, no, it's not a knowing thing. It's just they wouldn't be there if they weren't willing to do the work of the corporate masters. And I think it's really great for people to look that up on YouTube because it's so poignant. My question is, did the Steve Donziger story make your list this year, or is it just not even censored enough? I'm wondering if Donziger made it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate that. Did you understand what he meant there, Andy?
No, we don't have anything about Donziger on this year's list. Again, the list, the wonderful thing about a list is it creates a kind of an occasion to talk about the issues that are dear to Project Censored's mission, right? How news stories are filtered to use the terms that Ed Herman and Noam Chomsky talked about when they proposed their propaganda model in the late 1980s, a model that is still relevant today as we've moved into the 21st century. So there are a lot of good and important stories that you won't find necessarily on any given year's top 25 list. For people who are interested in digging deeper, I would point folks to the Project Censored website, projectcensored.org. where you can look at, from the homepage, you can find our validated independent news feature. That's where we are posting all the stories that we're currently tracking. So although this book just came out earlier this month, State of the Free Press 2022, we are already tracking news stories for the upcoming year. I wanted to go back, though, to Derek's comment about the work of that Chomsky has done and on censorship for just a quick moment and say, I think one of the biggest differences between corporate news media and independent news media in terms of how they report the news and therefore the kinds of stories and the perspectives on the stories that are available is who those entities count as authorized sources. Who is whose perspectives are newsworthy? And when you look, and this is straight out of the Herman and Chomsky propaganda model, what I'm about to say from their book, Manufacturing Consent, one of the five filters that Herman and Chomsky identified was sources. And the argument that is not unique to Herman and Chomsky's model, it's been verified again and again, not only in the work that Project Censored does, but in my field in the sociology of news, numbers of studies show that one of the most fundamental ways that what Project Censored calls corporate journalism is biased is that corporate journalism relies on official sources as the primary sources of all news. Official sources could mean government officials, it could mean corporate officials, but the point is that journalists see the world in terms of these official, bureaucratic, if you will, perspectives. And that leaves out all kinds of perspectives. And so in classrooms where I'm teaching Project Censored material, I'm often having students compare and contrast corporate and independent news coverage. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to look at news stories, look at a news story on the same topic as produced by a corporate news outlet and compare it with one from an independent news outlet and look at who's quoted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a big difference.
Quoted.
Yeah, like I can verify.
And what you will see, and who's quoted is who. That in effect is an index of who that news outlet, who that journalist is treating as having relevant information or perspective on the topic.